Because this message is about what Jesus did for us. It's not about our sin. Amen? Okay, so he has borne our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, distresses. He has carried our sorrows and our pains. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted of God as if with leprosy. When they were watching Jesus be crucified, they didn't understand. They didn't have the Bible to give them revelation. We have the Spirit of God in us now to be able to understand more. They didn't have that. They were like, oh my goodness. The world was, you know, crucify him, crucify him. He's not a good person. He's blasphemed God. He's a traitor to God. And those were his people. And then the Romans said, well, we're good at killing people, so we'll oblige, we'll help you. But look what he did. He bore our griefs, he carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. That's our sin. He was bruised for our iniquities. That's our sin. Look at this. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. The chastisement needful to obtain, this is the Amplified, peace and well-being for us was upon Jesus. And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. That's what Jesus wants us to remember when we come around the communion table. He wants us to remember, yes, the cup signifies the blood that he shed for our sins. But he didn't stop at our sins. He kept going. And he made a way for everything, spirit, soul, and body. He didn't leave anything out. God doesn't do anything halfway or even 99%. Friend, if you've never heard this message before, Jesus wants you well. He paid the price for you to be well. The devil, Jesus said in John 10 and 10, the thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have and enjoy life. If you're sick, you're not enjoying life. If you're poor, you're not enjoying life. Oh, religious cow right there. Oh, don't talk about prosperity, Pastor. Why? Jesus paid for it. I just read it. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. Anybody here in the banking institution? I know Winifred is. Is there anybody else? Ever been in the financial banking? Nobody else? You have been? What's one thing that robs people of their peace? The lack of money. And so then they feel upon, and I'm not going to go into it, but really it's because we've been trained in this society in America. America's not an evil country. America was founded by godly men and women that gave their lives, that died for us. And we celebrate those that have served in our military to keep our freedoms here. But we're a prosperous nation because God started this nation. And see, the United States of America, there's what, 240 some countries on the planet. Israel is God's, and then we're the only one that he created after that. All the others were man-made. God's got his hand on this, and you can just bear it out. More of the gospel, more of the funds that go into the gospel come from America. They don't come from all these other places. They come from us. And so we're a prosperous nation because we are a godly people. Now, we've got flaws. Nobody's perfect, right? But you know what? I just exhort you to pray for your president and for Congress, and whether you're on the left or the right or in the middle or wherever you are, pray. Pray. Don't complain. Do your part to help. So we see here that the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All right, so let's go back to 1 Corinthians, chapter 11. He says, why do we do communion? To remember what he did. That's the reason why. It's not to do a religious, ceremonial, sanctimonious thing. It's to remember what Jesus said. You know, you can have communion at your home every single day and it's not going to get God mad. You can partake of it. My wife and I have done it before. You know, when we're faced with something, it's like, let's go before the Lord. Let's remember what he's done for us. Let's not be shaken by the circumstances. We're not going to be shaken. If we sing about it, we got to live it. If we're not going to be shaken, let's live that way. The only way you can do it is with the help of God. Christian or non-Christian, you need God in your life if you're not a Christian. You still need God in your life if you are a Christian. You need him to help you through. I'm glad that Jesus said that, yeah, I'd have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome. And he overcame for you and for me. You need to see your circumstances, you need to see yourself as having the victory over your circumstance. We go to God in prayer from the position of, we're already the victors. We don't go lowly way down here saying, God, if you could just help me out and give me the victory. He already did. He sent Jesus. That's what we're talking about today. What did Jesus come and do? He came and made the way. Because man's lousy at being God. Will I get an amen there? Man's lousy at being a God. Man's lousy, really, at being anything that God... See, we can't get our jobs intertwined with his job. If we believe and allow him to use us the way he called us, then he can be God and do the supernatural. Amen. Jesus said you'd do the works that he did. I know that really comes cross-grain with a lot of people's thinking. But Jesus said it, I didn't. John 14:12. So what's this unworthy manner? Well, it's talking about you not discerning the Lord's body, not understanding what he did. That's the unworthy thing. Because if you go back, they were just treating this thing as a common meal, so to speak. For in eating, one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one's hungry and one is drunk. What, do you not have houses to eat and drink in, or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. That was verses 21 and 22. See, he was talking about the Corinthians. They were a messed up bunch. But look, let's not point fingers. We got a messed up bunch on the planet still. Not just bashing and throwing the Corinthians under the bus, or even Adam. Jesus came and died for every one of us. The vilest of vilest people that are on the planet today, Jesus died for that person. And we've got to start renewing our minds to the love of God, the agape love of God. You see, our carnal or our brotherly love is, I love you as long as you love me. I love you as long as you love me back and do good things to me and say good things to me. But if you cross me, or if I cross you, it's all over. It gets quiet. But is that right or what? When we seek to love the way God loves, it doesn't matter what they said. It doesn't matter what they did. I love you. That's the love that Jesus. They're spitting in his face. They're pulling his beard. They're poking him, jabbing thorns on him. Just got done shredding his body on that whipping post. I mean shredding, I'm not going to get too graphic, but it wasn't good. One more stripe would have killed him. The Romans used that. He did that for you and for me. And so we celebrate communion. We celebrate what Jesus did for us because he got the victory. He got the victory. This is, put your happy face on when we come to communion. The sin's been paid for. Sickness and disease, poverty's been paid for. Hallelujah. So we can come and remember what Jesus did and thank him and praise him. Now, having said that, since his body, when it was broken, when it was whipped, when it the stripes paid for our healing, when you partake of this, that's what he was talking about. Many of you are weak and sick, and some of you sleep. It's because they didn't understand and receive their healing. They didn't know why. They treated it common. But when we discern the Lord's body, what he did with his body, we can now receive healing. So I'm going to encourage you, if you're here today and you've got any kind of sickness and disease, pain in your body, when you look at that cracker that symbolizes his body that was broken, the bones weren't broken. I know some people get freaked out about that. Well, don't you know the Bible says, yeah, but if you'd have seen him, you'd have said, that he's broke. I mean, he's been broken apart. In Isaiah 53, before that, it says his visage. Let's just read that. I don't want you to take my word for it. His visage was so marred. What does that mean? That means you couldn't even recognize Jesus for who he was. We need to understand what he went through on our behalf. Verse 13, behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Jesus, just as many were astonished at you, so his visage, his visual appearance, was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of man. We see pictures of him on the cross, you know, the crucifix and whatnot in the pictures. That isn't what it looked like. He was torn apart. He was about dead before he went and was nailed. And amidst all that, all the torment, all the mental anguish that they hurled on him, he still hung there. None of us can even imagine what that was like. He said, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. This is a happy time to remember what Jesus did, because you and I didn't have to suffer crucifixion. We didn't have to die. He's not called you to die. He's called you to live. He died so that we could live. It's the greatest exchange that ever was. He became poor that you might become rich. He became chastised so that you could have peace. How many know that all the money in the world can't bring you peace? So that's not, it's fourfold, everything necessary for spirit, soul, and body is what Jesus did. And that's what we celebrate. So again, as we partake this morning, remember what he did it for. Receive your healing. Thank him that your sins are forgiven. Thank him that you're healed. If you're healthy this morning, thank him for that. Say, I thank you, you did that on the cross. I thank you this morning, Lord. I honor you. I reverence you. I worship you as I remember what you did. Because that's what he said to do. Do this in remembrance of me. Okay, if I could have help with the ushers, just getting the people up here. My wife's going to come up. What this young lady just shared is Jesus is coming sooner than you think. I think he's coming soon, but how soon? Well, you know what? I don't listen to all the talk. I just get my heart ready every day. Because I want to be found in faith. I want to be found doing the right thing at the right time. I don't want to be caught when he comes and I'm doing something I shouldn't be doing. Don't want that happening. And so it is important. And that's why we've been talking for the last 3 or 4 weeks about being fit for the master's use. Well, how about being fit or being ready for the return of the master? But he's got assignments for us, and we need to complete them. We need to be ready. We need to be ready. Amen? Well, at this time, I'm going to ask my wife to come up and share a couple of things. Lord's beginning to wake her up in the night and talk to her. And so just yield to the Spirit of God. I know she does. And when she shared with me what it was, it's just like, I think I had tears in my eyes. But why don't you come? My lovely wife, Deborah.
It won't be too long, but God did wake me up in the night the other night. going to be listening to? You know, and when that happens, do we actually get convicted? You know, does our spirit convict us? And I know I had an incident the other day that I was with somebody and I said something that convicted my spirit. And all of a sudden I was like, and it wasn't even that bad, but I said it. And 10 minutes later, I had to go to that person and say, you know, that wasn't me. I didn't mean to say that. And so that cleared me. I asked for forgiveness and they were like, well, I never even thought about it when you said it, but I did. My spirit caught me at that time. So those are the things we have to just, you know, so I figure out where I was here. I was at evil desires. You walk these ways your life once lived, but now you must rid yourself of such things. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language. I mean, that a lot of us, you know, sometimes it's because of what we hear, but we need to be careful, you know, that from our lips and not to lie to one another. Even those white lies, you know, that we think are okay are really not okay. You know, white lies are not okay. And not for the Christian anyways. You know, God knows when it's a white lie. We might think, oh, that's just a little lie, but it's a lie. And we need to be real careful about that. And put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of the Creator. So we need to be, you know, reading our Bibles and putting on our new self and getting ourselves transformed into what God wants us to be, because He is coming back soon. You know, He is going to be coming back, and He's going to be coming back for a church that's glorious. He wants to come back He wants to come back and see our hearts just purified. And you know what? We're not perfect, but that's why we need to ask for forgiveness, and that's why we need to continue to keep in His word. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God has chosen people, holy, dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So we're supposed to, the fruits of the Spirit, clothe ourselves with that. Bear each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of God, or the peace of Christ, rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, and gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And then I just wanted to read this other part here. Wives, submit to your husbands as fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases God. You know, I mean, if you have any ought against your parents, you know, I mean, those are things we need to really be thinking about. You know, sometimes we think, oh, you know, I don't want to talk to that brother. Or I don't want to talk to that sister. Or I don't want to talk to that parent because they wronged me. Well, it's doing more harm for you than it is for them. It's really doing more harm for you. And so this comes, I had this little story that I had remembered that had happened to Pastor and I about 6 years ago. There was a situation where somebody owed us some money, and it was a complicated situation, and it involved relationships, and we've never, ever spoken about this, and it probably happened 6 years ago before we even started this church. And it was a really complicated situation, and my husband, Pastor, is the same person here as he is at home, as he is when he's at the Labor of Love House, as he is when he's talking to you in the common area. He's not a different person. And this particular instance about 6 years ago, he was becoming bitter, edgy, sharp at home to me. And I'm thinking, this is not my husband. And I knew the situation. And when I tried to talk to him, but he didn't want to talk about it with me. He was just angry about it. It had affected his heart. And so I knew that I had to pray about the situation because he was, you know, obviously it was upsetting, and it lasted for, I would say, a month or more, I think. Yeah. And so then one day, unbeknownst to me, God must have dealt with him, and he did what he needed to do to take care of that situation. And he came back a different person. It totally transformed him when he told me what he had done. And he called me crying, telling me what he had done to make the situation right again. And when he came back, and that was such a turning point in this. Nobody really knows it. Nobody knows what happened, but that was such a turning point in this church. The next Sunday, we went to a level in this church that we had never been to before. We went to a level in our relationship. I mean, everything changed. Blessings started pouring in. It was probably maybe a year before we started our, you know, getting into this building, and that the money had come in, and things had just, I mean, just changed. And it all came from when you had totally submitted. And I think you had some things you wanted to say about it too, but you know, one of the other scriptures that came to me, but that was just such a turning point. But you forgave and you just let it go, and you became, you know, you weren't bitter anymore or angry or whatever it was with that situation that had happened. Amen. I don't know. I think it was Psalm 23. I think I took my bookmark out. Yeah, here it is. It says here, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in the holy place? He who has a clean hands and a pure heart. You know, we need to have clean hands and a pure heart. And that's the message that God just gave me. You know, really, just everybody take a moment and just think about your heart and think about, you know, is there someone you need to forgive? Is there someone that you have ought against? Is there a family member? Is there anything? I mean, we really need to be clean. This is the day and age we really need to, and God can help us with it. You know, I just take me back to that time when you were talking about communion a little bit, and you had said, you know, communion can be healing. Well, we've taken communion together, and there was a time in our life that there was a big hurt that came into our life, and we took communion that night, and that hurt totally went away. It just totally went away that night. We took communion over the situation, and that it was one of those hurts that just it hurt. Oh my gosh, did it hurt? And after we took communion, I was like, it's gone. It doesn't hurt anymore. And God was just so faithful there. So communion can do all, I mean, that's another thing. Communion can help you with the forgiveness as well. If you need to forgive somebody, or, you know, then that's about all I had to say, but I just wanted to share that. Thank you. Amen.
Okay, so she's putting me on the spot. And thank you. It was a situation in which it had to do with money. We financed something for somebody, and they didn't make good on it. And I got upset. Got real upset. And I knew that I was upset, because I had to live with me. I wake up with me every day. And I didn't like that feeling. But yet I was trying to justify why I could be upset. Well, somebody did something wrong. It's not my fault. But as Deb said, when you hold something, it hurts you. It didn't hurt any other person. It hurt my wife, because I did become different at home. I tried to smile the same as I do on Sunday morning, but and it wasn't just a month. It was probably a couple of months. And it was tearing me up. And again, it was, maybe this was back when God began dealing with me in the nighttime, because, you know, nobody's talking to me. I'm not doing anything. And he wakes me up, and it's just me and him. But he said, you got to forgive this debt. My flesh didn't want to. And the person. And so I did. And that was the most liberating act probably in my life because it got me out of a place where the enemy had gotten me to. Again, he'll keep you in that, the enemy will keep you in that place and tell you, well, you were wronged, and he'll give you a whole list of reasons why you're justified in being mad, being upset. You've got a right to. Not if you're a born-again Christian, you don't have a right to. And so, and I never even shared it with her until after. Actually, I think you found out before I ever got to tell you. But when I did that, it set me free. Like Deb also said, was things began to change for us spiritually and in the natural realm, because that was weighing us down. I was weighing us down. Guys, you can weigh down your family. Ladies, you can weigh down your family, whole family. You know, when Jesus taught about building a house on the sand versus on the rock, it says, great was the fall of that whole house. Your actions, guys, parents, husbands or wives or both, can take down the whole family. Your children are affected. Kids are hurt. And so you want to be mindful of that. One other thing, she mentioned that scripture in, was it Psalm 23? What was the, no, it's Psalm 24. It's Psalm 24, and I went to a service one night at a church that I was attending, and it was a Wednesday night service, and a preacher, I'm not going to mention his name, some of you would know him, but he said the Lord had dealt with him about changing his style, I guess, of preaching and teaching, and he came with a post-it note that night, and he said, this is the message. And this scripture here was on that post-it note. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He's asking a question, two questions. And the answer is, he who has clean hands and a pure heart. And I remember that evening. I didn't know my wife. I didn't know Deb. That was the night we met. I was sitting in the last row. She was in front of me. And that gentleman that changed his way of, he said, turn around and introduce yourself to say hello to who's in behind you. And I had nobody behind me. So, but that when he preached this, that scripture became alive. And I had to assess my life. Do I have clean hands? Do I have a pure heart? And I said to God that night, I said, God, I want that. I want that. Did you find it? You know why? My wallet. It's in my car. Did you see the keys on my desk? You did. It's in the my driver's side pocket. We're going to have to take this a little longer until he gets back with my wallet. But I just had an awareness of God that night like I don't think I have ever had experienced up until that point. Prior to that, I had gone through a divorce. You know, and it was hurtful. And that was several years before. But when I received this word and I made a purpose, I see, we have our own will. And I told God that my will is that I want this. I want to have clean hands and a pure heart. Prior to that, I grew up in a little Baptist church. And I didn't know the Holy Spirit. I knew Jesus as my Savior. And thank God for my grandmother, my dad's mom. She taught Sunday school, taught the book of John, and she along with my parents, made sure I wasn't going to hell. And they didn't beat it into me, but they gave me a reverence for who God was. And so I accepted him at 14 years old. But I'm now, well, you could probably do the math. I'm 30, late 30s. Oh, come on. They know me. See, the new people are like, what? Like, everybody knows me. Okay. But I knew nothing about God, the Holy Spirit, and how he could come upon you. I didn't know that. I had never experienced that. I thought it was a bunch of hooey. I'm just being honest. I saw people fall over, and I'm thinking, that's just a big show. And I think I've seen people that are a big show, but nonetheless, not everybody that falls over is a big show. And God's the big show. And he showed me, thank you, sir. He showed me that night that he was real, in a real physical, tangible way. And so at the end of the service, this man, I had heard him speak once, maybe twice before. He said, if there's anybody that is hungry for God, and as soon as he said that, I thought I was going to be the only one to go up front. And literally, close to 200 people went up front. So that just shows you God was reaching hearts. I thought he was just reaching mine. And so the whole front is full, and it's a place three times as big as this. And the whole front is full, and it's like, I'm thinking, God, how can I get to you? And I wanted to just climb over the seats to get up there quicker, knock old ladies down, and, you know, I just had to have this God. So the ushers, in their wisdom, it was in a school auditorium. They said, let's put the rest of them up on the stage. And so I got up on the stage. And my niece was there. And my daughter was there. And this guy's going around, and he's just blessing people and just laying his hands gently on them. And I'm thinking, I don't know what I'm thinking. But he laid, who was next to me? Was it you or was it you? It was you. And then, well, anyway, when he laid hands on either you or you, I fell over like a ton of bricks. And nobody caught me. It was a hardwood floor. And I felt nothing. And it wasn't because I was so cold. The ushers didn't catch me. Now, I've instructed my ushers, please catch people. It's concrete under this rug. But here's what happened that night. It was because of the sincerity of my heart, and God said, I can do something with this kid. So I'm on the floor, as was a lot of people, and then something very strange happened. My thumb and forefingers got stuck together like you use Gorilla Glue, and I could not get them apart. So what any normal person would do, I guess I'm normal, I began to laugh. I thought it was funny, so I laughed. And I laughed, and I laughed, and until my belly was just, had so much laughter. And I'm just still strewn out, but that's how God got a hold of me. He didn't send a big guy like Steve Murphy to sit on me and beat it into me. He just stuck my fingers together. And then after that, I began to weep. And I cried. Uncontrollably. And this God of mine, he was doing a work inside. He works on the inside. Deb said, God sees on the inside of you. He don't care what your hairdo looks like. He don't care what designer pants you wear or dresses or shoes. He don't care about that stuff. He cares about the condition of your heart. And so that night was the night I met my wife. I got my heart right, and he brought her into my life. So I had Steve go get my wallet because, and I hope I can, excuse me just 1 minute. My nose is starting to run. There. I'll sound a lot better. Not so nasally. Okay. So Deb says that this situation that happened and I was, we were wronged and I was bitter and upset and it was somebody we knew close and it was a hard thing. And I'm just getting tore up by it. And then God spoke to me and said, forgive him. Let it go. So I did. I did. And then, as Deb mentioned, things began to happen for us supernaturally. The condition of your heart can stop God's goodness and promises from working in your life. You stop it. He doesn't. He keeps pouring it out, but you keep pushing it back. And so it was, I don't know exactly the time frame, but it was short. I think it was that next. This happened summertime, I remember. So it was like within 9 months. That's good analogy. It's almost like birthing a baby. Women, you can understand this. Well, about 9 months later, this couple that we didn't know very well. She called me and she said, we'd like to take you guys out to lunch. We're leaving for a minister's conference. And I didn't have any time, so we said, okay, we're going to leave right after church on Sunday. So we said, Saturday morning, like in the middle of the morning, we'll meet you. We went down to Concord at Ruby Tuesdays and had brunch. And we had a nice time and knew her a little better than her husband, but, you know, we just small talk, didn't really know these people. And they said, well, the reason we wanted to have this time with you, and they take out an envelope and they slide it across the table. I said, what's this? And they said, well, we want to pray with you. So we joined hands in Ruby Tuesdays. Picture you doing this. And for 10 minutes, they're praying and praying and just blessing us and praying God's wisdom on us. And it was just like we're trembling almost. And then we leave. We exchange goodbyes. We leave. And we're driving over to the mall to get a couple of things. And Deb opens the envelope and she's like, oh my. I said, what? Guys, don't you hate it when your wife just, oh my, they're all getting... And they won't tell you what it is. Well, what is it? Oh, my. She could not talk. I had to drive completely to the mall parking lot. Put the car in park. And she handed me this check. And they had told me, there's no strings attached. They said, you do what the Lord says to do with it. And yeah, God spoke to each one of them. They're not wealthy people, but he had an investment that I believe God supernaturally did that for them. And God told them to give it to Faith Alive. And he said the same thing to the woman. And they came together. They go to another church, southern part of the state. They're a blessing to many, you know, they sow into many different organizations. And they said unequivocally, God said, you need to give it to these people. We hardly knew them. Don't tell me God doesn't know what's going on in your life. Well, so some of you are probably wondering, well, what's this check? You know, $10. No, it's not a $10 check. It's a $100,000 check. And I carry it with me to remind me. See, I busted out crying when she handed it to me because it told me I'm doing the right thing. It wasn't the amount. It's like my God really knows. He really knows me. So it was at about that same time, and I didn't share it with the congregation, but I had got a phone call. We were meeting at Laconia High School. And I met with this guy. I didn't know who he was, but he says, we don't want you there anymore. We don't want your church meeting here anymore. You know, I could have got bitter about that and said, wait a minute. It says in the city of Laconia charter that all public buildings can be used for Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, church, whatever. And I had people on the board that were not happy and said, we can fight this. I said, I didn't come here to fight unless I'm fighting the fight of faith. God can take care of this. So he brings this. We had about $100,000 saved up. And we had enough money to pay for all of this. The seats you sit in, I don't owe anything on them. We don't own the building yet. In the spirit realm, it's mine. I've already claimed it. I've decreed and declared it. And it's mine. And God is going to be glorified. God is going to be glorified. Not me. Not me. Last week, towards the end of the service, I said something that I thought about it afterwards. I'm thinking, they're probably thinking, he's just some cocky young punk. Well, I'm not a young punk anymore. But anyway, because I said that when I get up here, I do not have butterflies. And I've heard different big ministers say, you know, we still get butterflies. You know, they've been preaching 40, 50 years, and they still, that doesn't happen to me. And what I forgot to share with you is this. That was my greatest fear, is talking in front of people. I was paralyzed as a student in high school, in junior high school. I was paralyzed. I hated it. And God ripped that fear out of me. He took that fear out of me. That's why I'm bragging on God. And I know some of you are thinking, would he shut up so we can go get something to eat? But anyway. Come Saturday, is it this Saturday night? No, it's the next Saturday night. Come, we're going to have a nice meal. And we're footing the bill. But that's what God told me to, so we do it. And we're going to celebrate. Bring people that are sick. Bring people that are on their deathbed. Bring people that need Jesus. This is where things can happen. They can happen out there, but if we aren't doing it out there, get them here. Because I'll have the kids. Last miracle and healing service, we had the kids. I had Amelia. Is Amelia still in here? No. Amelia and Addison. Hi, she remembers. God imparted into those two young ladies an anointing to heal the sick. They received it. When we had praise and worship, they're sitting in my seat. I didn't ask Steve to get those kids out of my seat. Who do they think they are? That's pastor's seat. No? They were worshiping God from their heart, and I could see them glowing. And then towards the Lord said, have them help you. So we went around. And how many were here? You need to all be here. Because these two little girls went with me. What do you need? Okay. And they prayed for her. They prayed for her. Prayed for him. I just went around with them. Who needs healing? And these two little girls ministered. And then afterwards, the Lord said, I'm going to impart into them this day. I'm just a scaredy cat from high school that said yes. That I want clean hands, a pure heart, and I'll do whatever you ask me to do. And if you tell me to go to Siberia, that's fine. But you know what? Jesus had a tougher time in his own hometown, and that's where I got planted. So I'm in good company.